It says, now, if the ministry that brought death, this is verse 7 of chapter 3, the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory. Now, that's the physical. That's the law. If it came with a glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Now we're talking about a passing glory, the glory of the physical, versus a surpassing glory, a glory of the spiritual. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, the law, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? And that's Jesus, right? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? So if the physical, which passes away, came with a glory, how much greater is that surpassing glory, the glory of the eternal, the glory that lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. See, the veil on Moses' face was not to keep them from seeing the glory of the law, but to keep them from seeing that glory fading. The mystery is that the physical, the mystery of God, is that the physical must pass away, that glory must fade. Now listen to what it says. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains over the old covenant, remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed. In other words, that veil keeps them from seeing that the physical must pass away, that it's not a physical kingdom that God is blessing, it's not a physical Israelite that God is blessing, it's not a physical idea. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so that veil is over their hearts when the old covenant is read to keep them from seeing that this covenant and what it governs must pass away. Lest they see, as Jesus said, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and turn, and I should heal them. It has not been removed because only in Christ is this veil taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. In other words, we can see the need for the physical and the covenant that governs it, the law, to pass away. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said not one jot or tittle of the law will pass away until heaven and earth pass away. The law that governs the physical is intact until the physical is done away with. But it must pass. What is hidden from the physical Jews and those of a carnal mind is that the physical will be done away with, that only the eternal is left. We see through the physical, we who look with unveiled faces, we see through the physical as a testimony that the eternal has come, and that's Jesus. When anyone turns away to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, we get down to brass tacks. So we see the need for the physical to pass away. We see the need for the old covenant to be done away with because we have a better covenant. We have an eternal one. We see the need. Let me point out five things you can see from Hebrews, starting in chapter 9 and 10. Four things that must pass away. All right? The priests, they were continually repeated because priests died. Jesus is the one high priest who will never die. Eternal. So we have one that's temporary, that has to be repeated over and over again, but Jesus is the one that's eternal. He replaces all those high priests. He is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, priest and king. He is our eternal high priest. All right, the sacrifices had to be repeated over and over. over and over again. Jesus is the one sacrifice for sin, eternal. See? So the old must pass away that the new can take its place. Alright, let's look at the third thing. The Sabbath. Jesus is our rest in God. He is our rest. We died with Christ, ceased from our labors, and are at rest through faith. Jesus is that Sabbath. But the other Sabbaths had to be repeated over and over again. All these things that had to be repeated because they were physical and they pass away. Those are just the signs. The reality, however, is eternal that it testifies to, and that's Christ. So we see the difference between the ministry that came with a glory, physical, and the ministry that has a surpassing glory, spiritual. One is temporary and fades away, and the other is eternal. And the first one testifies to the second. First comes the physical, then the spiritual. First comes the testimony, then the reality. First comes the glory that fades, and then the glory that never fades. All right? When you see this now, this is all between Adam and Christ. Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. One was temporary and one is eternal. Now we have the pictures of both Adam and Christ in us. We have the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. We see the separation in ourselves. We see the part of Adam that we consider dead by faith, this body, and we see the part of Christ that we consider alive through the same faith, our spirit. So listen to this. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, nor do we use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. They cannot see that the physical must fade in order for the spiritual to take its place. They don't understand what John meant by I must decrease and he must increase. See, John says, now look, this is the last will be first and the first will be last. What comes first is the testimony. What comes next is the reality. What comes first is the physical. What comes next is the spiritual. John said, I come baptizing you with water, physical. But there's one who comes after me that's preferred before me, and he'll baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. You see, John testified, the law of the prophets testified till John. John testified from the glory that was fading. But he testified about a glory that would never fade. I baptize you with water, the glory that's fading. But there's one who comes after me that's preferred before me, the Spirit, the eternal, the glory that never fades. And he'll baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I must decrease, the testimony of the physical decreases, that the testimony of the eternal increases. I must decrease that he may increase. So the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. They can't see the eternal glory. All they see is the physical, the one that passes. But they can't see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. Now that caused that separation, didn't it? God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it caused a separation between day and night. The light will call day, and the dark will call night. That separation occurred in you. God said, let there be light in you when Jesus came, and there was light in you, and your old self is darkness. So we have this treasure in jars of clay. The jar of clay is the darkness, and that treasure is the light. We don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, and made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, this flesh, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Clay, dust, can't produce nothing of itself. Apart from God, we can do nothing. So it shows that this all-surpassing power, the work of the resurrection inside us, is from God. We are hard-pressed on every side. Now I want you to think about this. Hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Hard-pressed is on the outside, the physical, but not crushed is on the inside, the spiritual. Perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed is on the outside, not in despair is on the inside. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Persecuted on the outside, but not abandoned on the inside. Struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down is on the outside. They can kill our bodies, but we're not destroyed. That's on the inside. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Now this is where it comes. Hear it. About the resurrection. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. When will it be revealed in our body? The resurrection of the dead. So right now we're carrying around in our bodies the death of Jesus. The fact that this body is dying is that we are identified with Jesus in his death. At the resurrection is where we're fully identified in his life. We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. If we die, we will rise, even as Jesus did, right? So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. As it is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. And with the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, this outside, this body of death. We don't look in the mirror. That's not our hope. But we focus on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary. It passes away. But what is unseen is eternal. So we know that if the earthly tent we live in, this body, is destroyed, we have a building from God. Now, how do we have that? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Those many mansions are our resurrection. That's his promise. It is held safe for us by the promise of God. And we are given, when we will see here in chapter 5, how it is held for us. It's not like you have a big building up there waiting for you. It's not like you even have a body that's sitting around doing nothing, waiting for you to die. You have it by God's promise, safe for you in the heavenlies. It tells us in Ephesians 1:3 that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with all spiritual blessings. So we know that if the earthly tent we live in now is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in the heaven. In other words, by that promise. And that seal of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of it, isn't it? A house not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. We want that eternal body over our spirit, don't we? We want that eternal body. Because when we are clothed, we'll not be found naked, a spirit without a body. For while we're in this tent, this body, this corruption, this temporary one, a tent's a temporary body, we groan and are burdened because we don't wish to be unclothed. We don't want to die. We don't want to just leave this tent. But we want to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. We want this death to be swallowed up by life, don't we? So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. We want this corruption to put on incorruption. We want this mortality to put on immortality. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And what is to come is this resurrection. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we are at home in this body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, and I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We, you know, it'd be good to be up there in the Spirit, waiting for the resurrection, because we'd be with God, right? So we make it our goal to please Him. Whether we're at home in the body or away from it, it'll be our goal to please Him, won't it? For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and each one of us may receive what is due for him of the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we see this is all about this jar of clay being changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this corruption putting on incorruption, and this mortality, immortality. And as we have borne the image of Adam, flesh and blood, we must now bear the image of Christ, the resurrected Christ. Spirit, this body changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is our hope. The same body we died in changed, even as Jesus' was, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life. That His life will be revealed in our mortal bodies through the resurrection. This body. This is our hope and this is our gospel. And anybody who is teaching you a different gospel is teaching you a lie, and it will not result in the truth of the resurrection of the dead. A false gospel cannot help you. There's no hope.